The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, welcome to the big show, Your Money with David Hayes. Wow, on this Thursday, 80 degree day, are you freaking kidding me? In the middle of October, I'll take it. Our Little League football team is wrapping up this season as well, so having a practice with 80 degree weather on a Thursday night sure beats what's happened in the past. Hey, have a good show today. Ryan McEwen, he's a friend of mine from the Ed Slott Elite IRA Advisor Group. He is going to come on. He's out of Minneapolis, St. Paul. He's a thinker like me. He likes to communicate to the public. He's on radio. He's in the Wall Street Journal. He's all over the place. What's interesting, and I'll make fun of him when I get him on the line, he helps lead the tax strategies group of a roundtable team of specialists and is a frequent guest on our weekly Your Money radio program. Ryan is a six-year winner of the blah, 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 blah. So anyway, I thought that was hilarious that he's a frequent guest on Your Money. Now, either I stole their name or they stole my name or just was catchy name, and that's what they all did. We've had an interesting week. As always, we had the producer price index number come in a little hot. Not too bad. CPI came in about where we were hoping it would come into. Now we're sitting looking at a year-over-year inflation number around 3.7. That's not too bad. Not really in the twos where they'd like to see it, but I don't know that we need to see it there. When you think about inflation, we ran so low for so long, it's okay to have 3% inflation. So maybe they kind of edge it towards 3 and see what happens from there. I'm not too concerned about it. I think we'll end up getting through it. I'm more concerned about the debt. We're going to talk about that. You know, we're fighting the debt ceiling again. We have trillions and trillions of dollars that we owe, and we have no way of paying it. So when we talk with Ryan, you'll hear another person's take, another person's narrative, the same narrative that Ed Slott had, the same narrative that David McKnight had, the same narrative that I've always had. You'll hear it from Ryan McNow. Or, I'm sorry, I always say his name wrong. McEwen. It's one of those things where I practiced over and over. All right, so everyone is always looking to get rich quick, right? That's why the big Powerball's out there. And I think it's around $1.7 $3 billion. Well, even old Dave bought a ticket last night. My son went and bought a ticket. I never buy tickets, right? I just don't do it. Not because I'm against it. I just don't have an urge to, you know, generally throw away $10. But I did last night. I went down to the convenience store in my local area and picked up the thing, knowing that my chances of winning are almost like zero. Like you could literally do any analogy like struck by lightning, I would say struck by lightning like 10 times in the same day, or, you know, get eaten by a whale. Or, I mean, there's so many things that you're more likely to have happen to you than win this lottery. But I found this kind of interesting because a lot of people in offices or businesses or factories or whatever pool their money together. And then they go out and trust one person to buy all the tickets and all that. So it's interesting that I started getting these advertisements coming through my email. How to avoid disputes when your lottery pool wins big. Pooling resources with friends, family, or coworkers can increase your odds of winning, but make sure the details are in writing. And it was a start now button. Basically, it created a lottery pool agreement that everyone signed. I don't think it's that bad of an idea. You know, just make sure everyone's on the same page. If then, this, then that. And I would say everyone should know what numbers they had, because if they don't, there may be some guy that didn't show up to work the next day. And we'll see. It's going to be fun. It's always fun. That's a lot of money, dude. I mean, when you think about that kind of jack, are you going to take the lump sum? Most people do. They pay half of it in tax, and then they move on. My son and I were just briefly talking about what $1 billion really was, you know, and he, like, I don't think any of us truly have a clue to what $1 billion is or $2 billion. And that's why I always say no one even has a clue what $1 trillion is. And we've gone through that over and over and over on this program. So I'm not going to go through it again. But I had this article pop up in the Wall Street Journal. I'm a football fan, as you all know. A lot of you listening are football fans, NFL fan. There's a Thursday night game tonight on GCL. I'll be watching, and I'm not sure exactly who plays, and I don't even care. My wife's like, football on again? Yes, ma'am. Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday nights. It's like it has been for so long. And now there's two games on Monday night, so it's even two times the fun. But I was reading this article about Brock Purdy. Now, Brock Purdy is the San Francisco 49ers quarterback, and he's leading the best team in the league, but he doesn't make any money. The NFL's most valuable player. Now, he could be the most valuable player in the league, and the 49ers are a Super Bowl favorite. Most quarterbacks command about $50 million, these kind of quarterbacks, this level, $50 million annually. Purdy gets paid less than $1 million. Wow. There's no other player that contributes so much for so little. The improbable taking over as the 49ers quarterback last year as a rookie, he's undefeated in the regular season, 10-0 as a starter. The only thing that beat him was an elbow injury he suffered in the playoffs. Purdy is performing like a rock star, a superstar. He's completing 72% of his passes, has a league-leading passer rating. Purdy's contract pays him an average of $930,000 per season. Wow, and he's even playing at this massive level that the elite quarterbacks, Mahomes and all those. Joe Burrow's at Cincinnati, he gets paid $55 million a year. That nets out to nearly as much for one quarter of a game as Purdy gets an entire season. Even plenty of Purdy's neighbors in that Bay Area make more. Netflix is offering up to twice as much as Purdy makes to hire an engineering director. Purdy makes so little compared to his peers because he was the very last pick in the 2022 draft, a selection that bestows the title Mr. Irrelevant on a player because the last pick of a draft isn't supposed to really matter. Purdy was never supposed to matter either for the Niners, but he was the backup to a backup, and when we had Trey Lance, who was the number one pick, and they mortgaged the house to get, didn't work out, and then that backup got hurt, here came Purdy in, and he led him to a victory. Purdy was the exact insurance policy that the 49ers needed when they mortgaged their future for another player, and that investment went bad. Lance was a blue-chip stock that saw its value tank. Purdy was a rare penny stock that exploded. I'm reading this, and I'm thinking there's a lot of parity here that I could line up with investing. Insurance, putting all your eggs in one basket, betting on the blue chip, taking a major risk with a penny stock. You know, that's the crazy stuff that people do. Does it work out occasionally? It's almost as rare as winning the lottery. Probably not the $1.73 billion, but certainly the typical $10 million or so that comes with most of the lotteries out there. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get Ryan on the phone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. We have Mr. Ryan McEwen on the phone, as I promised. Ryan, of course, is from the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. He and I have been in the EdSlot Elite IRA Advisor Group for several years, which is obviously one of the leading organizations in the country devoted to the advancement of retirement account taxation knowledge. Ed's been on recently. I had David McKnight on recently, and now I have Ryan on. And Ryan, one of the things that stick out about you is years ago, a professor at Indiana University, and I know I've told you the story, Scott Smart, he wanted help putting together a textbook, an investment 101 textbook. And the idea would be that someone could read about a topic and then have a link they could click and hear a practitioner like you or I explain that topic so you could learn visually or audibly. And I remember coming back and he said, man, the guy from Minneapolis, Ryan McEwen, he was the best one of the group. And I know I've told you that before, and I have never had you on my program. And I know you've been on radio. You guys have a program up in the Twin City area, and it's called Your Money with your Wealth Enhancement Group. You guys have been on the air for 26 years. I've been on the air for 20 years, so obviously I stole it from you. You did not steal it from me, so we'll just bury that hatchet and move on. So, buddy, what have you been up to?
Well, you know, the one thing you forgot to mention is we both have matching Ed Slott tattoos.
You're right. The IRAHelp.com tattooed across my shoulder blades. We do bleed that. There's no question. Ryan, I know we're all cut from the same cloth, and you know, with Ed on, and then McKnight on, and you know, they hear me every week. I just think it's nice to get another angle, another take on a professional like yourself, who's a CPA as well as a financial advisor, on, you know, the boots on the ground stuff that we see people making mistakes. And one of the things I always ask people, and in a rhetorical way, you know, what do you think the most expensive thing in retirement is going to be? And, you know, they might say, oh, travel, or they might say, you know, whatever, or they end up saying healthcare. And I'm like, well, you know, those are all great answers, but the real answer is taxes. And they're like, what? Yeah, yeah. I'm like, where else do you go where you, if I take a dollar bill out of my tax-deferred retirement account that I have to pay 40 cents or maybe more back as tax, that's pretty expensive. To me, that's the most expensive thing in retirement. Yeah, travels hopefully will be expensive because you're doing a lot of it. Hopefully you're not paying a lot on health care. And I know we're going to talk about health care later, more on that. But, Ryan, the bottom line is we're sitting here with maybe the greatest opportunity that we've ever had. I know in my career and your career have ever had, to really begin taking some meaningful action to move your money from taxable to tax-free. And we are on the final drive. We have 2 years and 3 months left before the tax code expires in the year, end of the year 2025. And we go back to where they were before. And Ryan, I know you've been a huge proponent, but I want you to tell my listeners how important it is for them to recognize the urgency in front of us and the fact that we have limited time to make some things happen.
Well, one thing that I thought of when you were going through the explanation and introduction to the topic was that, yes, taxes, you know, if you have a dollar and you take 40 cents out of it, that's pretty expensive, and you have 60 cents to spend. Well, what happens if you need a dollar to spend? You know, you've got to take out $1.50 to get a dollar, and you're paying taxes on $1.50 to get a dollar. You're paying tax to pay the tax. That's like 50% if you do the math to get the dollar, right?
Right, right. And if you need a car and you want to spend 50 grand, and then you're thinking, okay, well, if I want 50 grand, I'm going to have to take out, you know, maybe $75,000, $80,000. So that's pretty expensive stuff. And I think a lot of folks think it's too late to do anything. I met with a couple this week who are about my age, and I'm like, dude, you've got plenty of time to really make some hay here and getting, stop doing what you're doing. Stop feeding the monster. Stop feeding the IRS playbook here that we have all been sucked into. And I know you being a CPA, I know Ed always says you have to become a recovering accountant, because I went through accounting in Indiana, did not become a CPA, but it was always pay tax at the latest possible time in the future. And we've taken the position, I think we should pay it off when it's the cheapest. And we are sitting at one of the cheapest tax environments we've had in my career, and people need to take advantage of it.
Yeah, and so my take on that is, you know, it's not about paying no tax. It's about paying the most reasonable amount of tax. I think most of our clients realize there's going to be taxes, but they don't want to pay as unnecessary tax. You know, they know that tax bill is coming, and I think that's where you're right, David. We've got about 200-some-odd years to go before these tax rates shoot up. And maybe right now, doing some careful planning with your financial advisor and your tax professionals, making sure you're paying tax at the most reasonable amounts late now, because you see the writing on the wall. I know Ed talks about this, you know, in our group. You know, it's just math. Taxes have to go up. And it's not always a tax rate. It might be, we talk about there's these gotcha taxes, there's stealth taxes, where the more you take out, yeah, maybe your tax rate doesn't go up, but maybe your Medicare premiums go up, and those get really expensive. Maybe it phases out certain deductions. That's set to come back into play in 2026. That's backdoor taxes. Those are the gotcha ones. They want to make you feel good, saying, hey, we're going to keep your tax rate low, but then when you file your taxes, your tax professional's like, well, wait a second, that's not exactly how it works. They're selling you a bill of goods. So, I'm sure you've had that moment, David.
Oh my gosh. So I'm of the mindset that don't put any money, more money away tax deferred. Pay it now. Be done with it. We can come up with analogy after analogy. We've used that you have a partner in your retirement account, which is the IRS. The larger your IRA gets, the bigger their share of the partnership is. You can pay them off now at a known percentage that you know you owe them. But later on, when the Congressional Budget Office continues to come out and say that taxes are going to have to double for us to simply pay for the things we've already promised, if you wait and wait and wait 10 years, 15, 20 years down the road, and you say, oh, hey, you know what? I want to pay you off now. And they're like, oh, okay. And I say, here's your 35%, 37%, whatever it might be. They could have paid off now. And they say, oh, you know what? I'm sorry. It's now 60%. And you can do nothing about it. Not only because the IRS can tell you how much of it's theirs, they also get to tell you when you have to start taking it out. And we know that the required minimum distribution age is confusing as alphabet soup. Used to be 70 and a half, went to 72, 73 for some, and then 75 now for some, anyone born at 60 after. So at some point, they're going to say, you need to start taking some of that money out and giving some of it to me. What are some of the ways you frame that up to the folks that you talk to up in the Twin Cities?
Well, I try and make it a gradual process. I find a lot of times people aren't willing to make a all or nothing commitment right off the get-go. I think that's the important thing, is that a lot of the strategies that David and I are talking about come with a long-term, more of a gradual long-term plan to get from point A to point B, because trying to do it all at once may be, maybe excessive, and it's hard to grasp, that big picture concept. It's having a well laid out financial plan, and sometimes it's not good to go to tax free. Like, what if you're very charitably inclined, and you can keep some of your money inside your tax deferred retirement account to give to charity later. Some of those types of things. So it's not an all or nothing proposition, and everyone's got different goals and objectives that you need to take into consideration.
You'll love this one. So this same couple came in this week, and I hope they're listening, because I'm giving them a lot of shout-outs here, great shout-outs. Paid off their house, making lots of money, saving lots of money outside of their plan, thousands and thousands of dollars every month going into just a brokerage account. But yet they had this big IRA, 401k, a few million dollars. And I'm like, you know what? Might be a better use of the money that you're putting into this brokerage account. You already had a sizable brokerage account in case something went awry for you to fall back on. Maybe you should start using that to pay off the debts. And I said it jokingly, but they're like, well, we don't have any debts. I go, unfortunately, you do. You have a debt to the IRS on this $2 million. So my thought is, over the next 10 years that you're going to work, why don't we focus on using some of these excess dollars that you have each month to pay the debt off on your IRA? What do you mean by that? I mean, you're going to convert it from a taxable IRA or 401k. You're going to move it into the Roth. You're going to pay it a reasonable amount of tax that we feel comfortable with. And we're going to put a 10-year plan together, just like Ryan said. Now, I'm eating crow here a little bit, because I'm saying 2025 is the final drive. Yes, right now we understand it's going to jump up to the 39.6, the highest level, which is where they are. If we get close, if we get to 2025 and they start saying, okay, here's what it's going to look like. It's not going to sunset, but it's going to look like this. You may have to go in and rip the Band-Aid off. So any plan you put together is just a course, a guide, but there's always going to have to be opportunities for change. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to dig more into that process and the thought process of how you can convince yourself and get the courage to do what you know is right, which is to get out of the crosshairs of this massive tax bill that's coming. This is Your Money with David Hayes. All right, welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. If you miss any of the show on Thursday night, you can always catch it on Saturday mornings here on WGCL. Or after the Thursday night airing, it would be online and on your favorite podcast, wherever you pick up your favorite podcast. Ryan McNabb, QAN, I keep saying your name wrong. For years, you know when you get in your head how you pronounce something and then you know that it's wrong, and then when you finally learn how to say it, you still say it wrong? So, McEwen, McEwen. I told my wife last night, I said, I need to say it seven times in a row because evidently seven is a magical number to make you start remembering exactly how to pronounce something. But it's muscle memory from years and years ago.
Well, go David, ahead. I'm going to start calling you David Hayes.
I'll take it. I'd prefer El Conquistador, but that's just my preference. El Presidente. All right, Ryan, we're having a lot of fun here. Ed Slot guy like myself. How long have you been in the Slot group? I'm obviously a charter member, been there for 100 years, but you've been there a long time.
Yeah, it's been 13 years for me.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, getting into some of the things that people should be doing, smart things they need to be doing, you were a contributor to the Ed Slot IRA Advisor newsletter. I think it was just back in March. And really talking about what I refer to as the triple threat of retirement accounts, probably one of the most underutilized retirement planning strategies that are out there, and that is the health savings account, Ryan. I'm going to let you take it from there because you say in your article, new laws add more sparkle to the health savings account than ever before.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what David is talking about as a triple threat is that when you put money into a health savings account, first, it's tax deductible when you put the contributions in. Just like an IRA or a 401k, it's tax deductible. And once the money's in the account, it grows without taxes, just like a lot of other retirement accounts. But here's the big difference is that when you take the money out for healthcare expenses, qualifying healthcare expenses, it's all tax-free. That's way better than a 401k or an IRA where you put the money in and you get a deduction, but we've been talking about how there's a big mortgage, there's a liability coming due on those tax deferred accounts. You got to pay taxes when you take the money out. With a health savings account, you can get the money out tax free for one of the biggest expenses next to taxes, healthcare expenses.
That's right.
It's amazing. I think I don't know if you can have too much money into one of these things. What do you think, David?
Well, I think as long as you have some record of expenses that you paid out of pocket your entire working life, when you get into retirement and you have this massive account, you can not only just, you can pay for current expenses, but also repay yourself for past expenses. And Ryan, people are always asking me, well, how good of records do I need to keep? I said, just keep good records. But I don't know of any HSA police running around out there checking your receipts from 1985. But I would probably keep at least a spreadsheet, if nothing else, of prior expenses, because that's the underutilized portion that you talk about of the retirement planning using an HSA.
Well, I think one of the easiest things to track is Medicare Part B premiums. And if you think about it, even if you just had a goal of putting enough in your health savings account to pay for your Medicare Part B premiums, that'd be a pretty good deal because, you know, right now it's about, $40,000 in Medicare Part B premiums for 10 years for a married couple at normal income levels. But that's $80,000 over 20 years. You know, most people are going to probably pay $80,000 to $100,000 just in Medicare Part B premiums. So if you've got that in the HSA, it's a really easy and knowable expense to keep track of because every year you get Form 1099-SSA for your tax return, and that shows how much Medicare Part B premiums you've paid. And so if you keep that form, that's a really easy, low-hanging fruit expense to keep track of to reimburse yourself for either currently in that current year or like David was saying, there's no time limit. Let that money grow tax-free and reimburse yourself down the road with more tax-free earnings. The deduction's really nice, but if you think about it, you know, if you have $1,000 in an HSA, you can let it grow to $2,000 later on and pay that expense back. You're paying that back with the tax-free growth of that investment.
So this week, another couple came in and they were able to max out their 401k, but they were not maxing out their HSA. And I said, you know what? Like you were just saying, let's max out the HSA first because that's a much, much better deal. And the limits have gone up. I mean, that's the one good thing about inflation is a lot of these limits have gone up. Tax brackets have widened. I mean, it's kind of a nice thing for tax planning right now to be taking advantage of 529 plans. You can put more into those. At least in Indiana, you get a tax credit now up to $7,500. You get a 20% tax credit. A lot of good things happening. But Ryan, that's also a big mistake I see people making is they focus so heavily on the retirement 401k, maxing it out, and if they don't have the dollars or can't come up with the dollars, they're not putting all the money they can in the HSA. And we're like, nope, flip that on its head, dude. Pay the HSA first, max it out, don't use it, put what you can in the 401k. And once those kids get out of the house and off the payroll, you'll be able to do both, and everything's going to work out just fine. I would get asked too, Brian, what, you know, I think here in my area, and I think it's similar in your area, most young people, if they have a good advocate at work, they're going to get started putting money in their 401k and hopefully money in their HSA. If they qualify, it's a health savings account, but it's a high deductible plan. Not everyone has them. There are a lot of them out there. But, you know, you get busy, you're saving, you get married, you start having kids, you buy a house, you know, you're just trying to manage through your finances. And then all of a sudden you wake up one day and you're 48, 49, 50, and your kids are starting to slowly, hopefully move off the payroll. And then to me, that's about when people say, okay, now what about us? Now we have to start focusing on us. I never see anyone walk through our doors, probably very seldom under 50, unless it's someone's kid that they're having come into our office to see someone. That's just kind of the way it goes. So if you're one of those people, don't sweat it. You're just like everybody else. All right, real quick, Ryan, I want to talk about converting an IRA to a Roth IRA and how that is a financial gift. And I'm going to tell you my quick story that I've been running with, and it's very powerful. Because the one thing that I found out of like three people in the last 2 weeks is folks said, okay, I get this. I pay the tax now. It grows tax-free, and it comes out tax-free. But isn't that not counted as income? And I go, what are you talking about? I go, no, it's not counted as income. Everything else is. But no, it's tax-free. It's not. It's income, sure, because you're putting your pocket and spending it. But it's not. There's no reporting of income at the end. That's a misnomer. I had no idea that people thought. Well, here's what I've been going with. I'm 53 years old, and I decide, you know what? I'm going to convert $200,000 to a Roth IRA. So I move it to the Roth. I take $80,000, I'm just making that up, $80,000, might be a little more, pay the tax, boom, and I'm done. And at 7.2%, money doubles about every 10 years, so I'm 53, it goes to 63, now it's worth $400,000. And I sadly die of a heart attack, and my wife takes it over as her own. And my wife has longevity in her family, as you guys all know, I've told you this before, her grandma lived to 98. So let's say she lived to 93. So here she is at 63, $400,000. Goes from $400,000 to $800,000 to $1.6 million to $3.2 million, and then she dies at 93. And my son's 63. Guess what? He doesn't have to touch it, smell it, do anything with it. He can let it go for another 10 years and turn that into a over $6 million tax-free distribution to my son. To me, Ryan, that conversion was a financial gift, and that will guarantee me that my one and only child, he was a son, will come to my graveside and say, thank you, Daddy, for doing that Roth conversion 40 years ago. But it is a financial gift, not just to your spouse, but to your kids or grandkids as well.
Well, and thank you to the short-sightedness of Congress for thinking that, you know, not thinking about all the future tax-free growth that all these Roth IRAs are going to have. You know, Roth IRA, they love Roth IRAs now because it raises revenue for them now, but they're not thinking about that $6 million gift to your son later on.
Yeah, yeah. And when you tell people that, they're like, I get it. So my son has $6 million tax-free and it costs you $80,000 in tax? That's good math. I don't care who you are. That's good math. Ryan, one of the things that we talked about with David McKnight, I'm going to skip over that for now, but we've been talking about the federal estate tax exemption amount and the lifetime gift exclusion amount, how it will also be cut back in half at the end of 2025. You know, in my career that started back in 1994, if you died with more than $600,000, including the death benefit on your life insurance, you were subject to federal estate tax. Then it went to a million, a two, five, 10, went away completely, back to five, back to 10, then it jumped to 20, you know, and that's where it's been. And now it's going to go back to get cut in half again from where it is today, which is around, what, $22 million each. That's something that, you know, people are like, I don't have a estate worth $22 million. So, well, but you know what? I mean, there are history says that if the government needs money, they might say, you know what? Yeah, it's going back to 10 or 12, but you know what? Now it's going back to 5, back to 2, back to 1. You never know. So people need to be aware of not just federal income taxes, but the roller coaster ride that we've had of the federal estate tax as well.
Right, and I would say this is even a better argument for converting from IRA to Roth IRA, because you talk about the conversion of an IRA to Roth IRA being a financial gift. Well, if you can convert an IRA to Roth IRA and you pay the taxes on it during your lifetime, you don't even use your exclusion. That reduces the estate tax, plus you might be given that financial gift to your kids long term. Wow, that's huge.
Well, and if you don't do a Roth, you're going to have a double whammy. You'll have the tax on the IRA, and you may have the federal estate tax. So you have could have a potential double whammy there, even though there's some offsets. I'm not going to get into all that. We're going to take a break when we come back. I'm going to dig into Ryan's mindset on why you need a specialist, how everyone can accumulate. That's the easy part. But once you hit retirement, to me and Ed, I learned this from him, that's like halftime. And it's the score at the end of the game that counts. Let's get to Ryan's view on why you need a specialist when it comes to this kind of stuff. We'll be right back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Ryan McEwen is my guest, Ed Slott friend, and common thinker when it comes to this kind of stuff. Ryan, you've been a contributor to the Wall Street Journal, and you've been on boards of different organizations in your area, and you play the drums as well, so I haven't heard any drum beats coming your way, but that's also pretty cool. And you are a frequent guest on the Wealth Enhancement Group's radio program, weekly program called Your Money. So it's a very, we have a lot of things in common, Ryan, and one of them is that when it comes to this kind of stuff, it's serious stuff, and you need a specialist. In my book, 2025, The Final Drive, I talk about packing your parachute and how this fighter pilot flew over seas and, you know, was shot down, and his parachute worked just fine and ended up down the road. The guy that packed his parachute found him as he was a speaker, and he said, "I packed your parachute." Well, he packed thousands and thousands of parachutes, and he had the confidence when he pulled the thing, it was going to work. But if you were sitting there as a pilot and you've only packed one parachute and it's your parachute, how confident are you when you pull that cord, the daggum thing's going to go off and save you and land you behind enemy lines to later be rescued? So when it comes to this financial stuff, yeah, I mean, put money in a 401k, invest it in those funds, get your match. You know, it'll work out. You'll accumulate. To me, that's the easy part. This country has made it super easy for people to have access to things to save money in. But then you hit retirement, and it's a game changer. And we've used analogies like no one dies climbing up Mount Everest. They die coming down. All those different things that we've said in our field. But it is a score at the end of the game that counts. And, Ryan, people need a specialist.
Absolutely. It's way, like you were saying, David, it's way easier to put the money in than it is to take it out. It's all these various rules and regulations, and you've got multiple decisions to make. And I think that's where people get very tripped up on. You've got a tax decision to make, number one. Where do you take the money for taxes? Two, you've got to figure out, you know, how much can you take out and still, you know, survive, you know, through your overall retirement. And then, you know, you've got to figure out how to invest the money. And which investment do you sell, you know, in order to meet your ongoing goals? There are so many variables involved in the decision, whereas when you're putting the money in, all you got to do is put it in and put it in a fund. And, yeah, most of the time, if you do that behavior, you know, correctly, yeah, you're going to build up a nice nest egg. But, yeah, there's a whole lot coming down Mount Everest that you got to deal with that's probably different than going up it.
That's right. Where do you put your money? And when do you, how do you take it out? So important. You know, we talk about this in my book, and we've said it here on the show, and I'll be doing a program next week at Ivy Tech called Taxes in Retirement. So if any of you had an invitation through Facebook or something to show up, I don't even know that they said who was going to be there. Yes, it's going to be me. I'll be there, Taxes in Retirement, going through all kinds of stuff just like this. We already have 40 signed up. So we'll see. Last time we did it, we had around 50 or 60 show up, and it's a lot of fun, very informative. You'll get a free book. I'll give you a copy of my book, 2025, The Final Drive. What you need to know to win, and number one thing, you're going to be informed, and we're going to have fun. Ryan, when we talk about the demographics right now, we have over 11,500 people a day turning 65 in America. It's going to continue for quite some time. The financial advisors that are in our group, I know, are very highly educated. Ed says this. I'm not going to say it. I'll let Ed say it. So I'm quoting him that like less than 1% of advisors in America know this stuff and have access to technical consultants like we have with Ed, have direct access with Ed. But he is the country's IRA and tax expert. Briefly plug our group for us.
Oh, absolutely. I love plugging our group. I've been part of the group for 13 years, and my firm, Wealth Enhancement Group, we have $70 billion that we manage. We're a pretty big firm. I can't get the same level of education internally here at the firm we're at. So I've continued to dedicate and grow, and I bring dozens of people to Ed to train every year because we can't recreate that internally. That's how good this information is. And, you know, David, you and I are pretty smart people, right?
Well, I hope so. Not in every aspect of my life, but when it comes to this stuff, I hope I've got it down pretty good. Or at least I know enough to say, hey, let me check with Sarah or Ian or one of the guys and gals that are on our technical team, which is, to me, one of the greatest things we have access to is we can just email something. And it's always, I'm a trust and verify guy, right? I know the answer, but I just say, you know what? Let me just verify that what I'm thinking is true, and I'll send it to her. And occasionally they'll say, nope, it's this way. So it's good to have people in your back office to tell you when you got it right and when you got it wrong. And we've got that with the Ed Slot Group. Ryan, well, I appreciate go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, hey, Larry Bird had Casey Jones. Right?
Right.
Michael Jordan had Phil Jackson. I'd say Ed Slott is our Phil Jackson.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll have Ed on again. Probably not until after the first of the year, but it's always great when he's on. Ryan McEwen from the Twin Cities. If you want to check him out, you can just Google him. He comes right up. Got a lot of great things going. Ryan, I'm not sure if I was supposed to read your disclosure or not, but I'm going to do it just for your compliance department. Advisory registration held with Wealth Enhancement Advisory Services. Advisory services are offered through Wealth Enhancement Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor. Check the background of investment professionals when you're on the site and see how great they are. I added that one. Ryan, thanks, man. I'll talk to you. Well, we're going to be virtual this time, so we won't see in person, but maybe we'll be in a breakout session or something together.
Hey, sounds great. Thanks for having me on, David.
All right, man. Take care. We're going to take a break, come back, and wrap it up. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Thank you to Ryan McEwen. We appreciate him taking the time from the great state of Minnesota. He's been up there hanging out 13 years in the Ed Slot Group with myself. And like I said, there's a lot of smart people in that group, and he's one of the top. So I appreciate him taking the time. So Indiana football this weekend at Michigan. So cross your fingers. Hope to die. Stick a finger in your eye. One of those things will happen. So anyway, just grit through it. I hope we have a good show, and I think we will. You know, you never know. These young guys will persevere. We got a new OC, and we'll just have to see how it rolls. Next week, I'm going to be out of town, so we're going to record a question and answer show. We've been collecting questions from a variety of sources over the last week or two, and Jim Emmon Jr. and I will do a Q&A show. I enjoy those because I do not look at the questions before he gives them to me. I like the spontaneity of the answer. It makes it more pure and real, so he will fire them away at me, and I may have Doug Hughes join us as well, kind of spread out the love a little bit. And then we'll be back in the studio live the next 2 weeks after that. I don't know, I didn't bring my list of guests, but I know we have Jerry Sedler coming up, the author of the revised version of Don't Retire, Rewire. She'll be on. I know Mary Beth Franklin also. And I'm making a play to try to get on Consuelo Mack. If you know who Consuelo Mack is, a lot of the characters that are on my show are on Consuelo Mack's show. So I'm going to start making a push to figure out how in the world I can get on Consuelo Mack. Now you might ask yourself, why do you want to be on Consuelo Mack? I'm like, well, why do you want to win a game? Or why do you want to go to that great restaurant? Or why do you want to, I don't know, it's just cool. So I'm thinking if I can get on Consuelo Mack, yeah, you put it down that you were on Consuelo Mack. And many of you are like, who in the heck is Consuelo Mack? Well, look her up because she interviews some of the best minds in the industry. And you will see that you see Mary Beth Franklin. You see Ed Slott. You see all these guys and gals that we've had on our program as well. So if you missed any of the program, don't forget, catch it on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. before the Hoosiers kick off. Or you can listen to it online tonight after the radio show is over and any time after that on WGCLradio.com. And after it goes on the website tonight, it pops up on your favorite podcast stream. And while you're at it, pick up the latest 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Know to Win podcast. We did one on depreciate or not depreciate. That is the question. And I'm getting ready to record another one on another creative way to come up with the tax money to pay the tax on a Roth conversion with in an in-plan Roth conversion when you work for someone and you shift money around. So I hope everyone has a great weekend. I'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.